Okay, turn with me back to Acts 15. Let's finish Acts 15. It's not but a few verses, but I want to go back to verse 35 of Acts 15, and we'll pick up there and finish up that chapter, and we'll start in 16. And like Ronnie says, I've got 2 or 3 weeks' work, but I'm certainly not going to try to dump that on y'all at one time tonight, but I won't have time. So we're going to go to verse 36, and we're going to read down through 36 and 37, and then we'll start back with 38, because that's where we got to. I don't know, it's been, what, nearly a month ago, it seems like. Okay, verse 36, King James Version. It said, some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And you remember that they had gathered together in Jerusalem and come up with these 4 items that you only had to do, and you wouldn't have to do circumcision anymore. And this was the deal with Silas and James and the others that got together and said, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to give you when you go out again. And so Paul was wanting to go back and see the others, and, you know, that's where he was stoned to death in Derby. And so we'll kind of read the rest of the story here. And it says in verse 37, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Well, he did that before. And Mark left him, and he got a boat ride or some way to get back to the mainland, and he came back and was in Jerusalem at the time. And so he didn't go with him on the journey. And I don't think he saw Paul stoned to death. I don't think John Mark did. But I believe that Timothy did, for sure. And so this is, and this is where we're going to start with our study tonight. So we're down to 38, verse 38. Okay, Paul wants to go back on this trip that the Lord has provided, for them to do, so they're taking off, and they're going to go as far as, evidently as far as the Greek coast. That's a pretty good ways across the Mediterranean. Now, Paul's never been this far. He's been as far as Crete, but he has not been any further away from the, mainland. Of the Israelites to do this. But 38 says this, but Paul thought not good to take him, this John Mark, with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So with Paul and him with the job that he has been given by the Lord to present to the people of the world around in that area, if you deny moving or going with him, then you're not in his good graces very much. And so he didn't think it was too good a thing to make the offer again.
Well, these trips weren't exactly vacations either.
No, and John Mark didn't have a good he didn't like what he was getting into, and so maybe that was another thing there. Let me read what my note says. He said, but Paul thought it, and that it was, it had been added, not good. There to take him with them. That him there is certainly John Mark, and he had left the ministry. One who had left the ministry, Paul, having given his eyesight and his life for this cause before, and withstood Satan's darts and arrows in Arabia when he went there before returning to Damascus. And he says he returned to Damascus to take with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And so this was the departed was there was the word in the Greek to that this was the one who fell away from the work. He did not go toward it. He fell from it. He went in the other direction. And it's apohistomai, the way I've got it written in my notes. And I did this quite a little while back, so I think that's the way that's pronounced. So it wasn't a good thing that they get involved in this again, according to Paul's understanding and his thoughts. And so when Paul had mentioned this to Barnabas, and it seemed like that didn't go over well, and it said, and the contention was so sharp between them, and that's Paul and Barnabas, that they departed asunder one from the other, full stop. So it got pretty heated, evidently, in the conversation that was going on between the brethren here about John Mark, because Paul's view of this thing was, man, I give my life and I've given some of my eyesight to this ministry, and somebody else just can't get up and go
Paul,
with me.
Paul's what you call all in.
Yeah.
150%.
Yeah, he was
completely all in. John Mark, not so much.
But now, when you get to 2 Timothy again, and when he was naming the people where they had went to and everything, he said, Timothy, bring John Mark with you because he is still worthwhile to the...
Profitable.
Profitable to the service. Okay. So, this is the full stop there. And it said, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. So they departed ways there because evidently they were already in way, underway. And one was going to one part of the world, one was going to the other part of the world. I had to get my maps out and relook at this thing again to see what they was talking about, because all these words that you're going to hear from here on down for a little while is talking about going into Macedonia and in the areas of Greece, of the Greek colonies, and Paul has never been there.
Yeah.
And so it took me a little while to figure out what I was looking at. And I didn't have the whole full thing of the maps that I used to have.
There's actually a roll of maps over there on top of that cabinet.
So it was a little gritty, but I kind of figured it out. And so they had a splitting up. And so Paul took Silas. And so Paul and Barnabas separated, and Barnabas kind of fell out of sight. You don't hear anything much from Barnabas anymore. But there is another one there, and that's Silas, Silvanus. And so he took Barnabas's place in this thing. He said, and Paul chose Silas and departed, in verse 40, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So they had a pretty good entourage going here now, that they were back there, and I know James is going to go with him, and Silas is going to go with him, and Timothy's going to go back with him. And it says in the notes in the Companion Bible that along with Timothy, and we ain't got there yet, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you this, that along with Timothy, there were six others that had believed during the time that Timothy was believing, during that time when they picked up Timothy in this thing. And so I think Timothy and the other five or six were there before, and I don't know if they're with them now or going to join them now. I don't know. I don't even know what their names are. But Timothy's the only one that tells, that the word tells us of the name. And we'll talk about that a little more when we get there too. So, because there's a reason for that. And a lot of times we don't think about it or we don't understand it. But I always felt after the Lord came into my heart, then I began to realize that I had been chosen by Him for something, for some reason that God chose me from before the foundation of the world, that He has known me for ages and ages and ages. Whether I knew Him or not, He knew me. And those that He chose, that He chooses that way, really should thank God every hour of every day that you're awake, because that is a very important part of your being here and my being here. And it says, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches, or they did. But Paul is the ringleader here. Paul is the master guide. Now, when they get in a boat, now I'm going to tell you something. When they get in a ship, I call it a boat because probably it wasn't much bigger than a good-sized boat, but it could have been a ship that carries food to other places around in the area. So when you get in a boat, the captain of the boat is the captain of the boat. But Paul here is the one that God sent along with these people to go and to evangelize people that had not heard the word of God evidently before. Or not so much as. Because, you know, when he gets into Greece and he's there for a while in one place, and he was walking through the area, and it says they had a statue or a monument to the unknown God. Okay. So here's where he was going. And this was the people that he was going to meet. So the very last verse there, it said, if Paul chose Silas, having chosen and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirmed the churches or the assemblies. And then we get to Acts 16. Well, verse 39 told us a little more than I explained to you about the contention. It was sharp in the contention. They call it perioxymos. And that's a medical word. Well, for the past few times that we've met here, since about the 14th or 13th or 14th chapter of the book of Acts, I've been telling you that some of these words are medical terms, but we haven't heard anything from the medical man, from Dr. Lou. But also, where Luke got some of his stuff for the Gospel of Luke, and I think where he got some of this stuff from Acts, early on in Acts, according to the notes in the Companion Bible, he probably got a lot of this from Titus. So Titus might have been with him too. But you haven't heard anything about Titus either yet. So, there is a contention of people with Paul that we don't know, that we don't know all of their names now. So, how does Luke get into this situation? And that's something that kind of bothered me a little bit again, although I've been through this four or five times. But I keep finding things out that I didn't know before. And so we're still going to do that. Okay. Thanks to Dr. Luke. So sharp between them that they departed asunder or separated without coming to an agreement. And one from the other. And that's the full stop I was talking about a while ago. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Here Barnabas disappeared from the history. So sad. But we have all surely felt at one time or other about these things because we've lost people that we love. And we've lost people that we know that knew God's word. And I kind of look around sometimes and say, Lord, why me? Why this other? Especially Carl Henson, I think about. Yeah. Carl, he could remember anything he read. And Carl had an answer for lots of things. And one day I got a call at work from my daughter. And when I answered the phone at work, because I usually didn't get phone calls at work, and I picked up the phone and said hello, and she said, Dad. And I knew who it was when she said Dad, but said, he didn't make it. And I said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Who didn't make it?
Yeah, we were talking about it.
And she said, Carl didn't make it. So they found him dead a while ago. And Lord, I didn't know what to think.
Yeah.
You know, it was certainly like losing a brother.
Yeah.
If not more than that. But we all do these things and then have to go through these things.
That was 1994.
Yeah. And so it was 9 years left before I retired from work because I was at work when she called and told me that.
Yeah, you're like my older brother.
And,
yeah, amen, Carolyn.
So that's, that's a situation that I kind of had to ask myself, well, Am I worthy of what God has given to me to understand? Well, I don't know where I am or not, but I'm still trying. Here we are, you know, all these years later. And so, when we get to Acts 16, it talks about Asia Minor, Lystra, and the extended tour in Asia Minor. And so, there's going to be two different parts of this chapter. One is going to be from 1 through 11, verses 16:1 through 16:11, and then we're going to go from 16:12 to 16:40. That's another section of this. And this is going to give us a pretty good opportunity to see how God works things out with His plan that we may or may not have really thought about a lot. And so these people are going to do the bidding of God, going back to a place that they've never been. And Paul has never been out of the region of the Israelite region, other than some of the coastal islands in the Mediterranean from that. But here he's going to go across the Mediterranean into Macedonia, which is... If you look on the old maps, it says Macedonia, but it says it in another way. But this is how it comes out. Okay, 16:1. Asia Minor. Preparation to go forth. Then came he to Derbe and to Lystra. Okay. Paul knows about Derbe. He lost his life in Derbe, and the Lord gave him his life back. The men that was with Paul gathered around him in a circle. And God raised him from the dead before these men. They saw it. And when you get stoned in the way that the Israelites stoned their people, they started with the smaller stones, and when they got you down, they pummeled you with the big stones, and the big stones was onto the head. So not only was Paul's eyesight changed, but I'm sure his face changed somewhat. Now, God could fix it. I'm not saying that God couldn't fix it. How much He fixed it, I have no idea. But when He fixed his eyes, He didn't fix them back like they was, because His own testimony was the fact that He couldn't see as good as He used to.
He wrote a large letter.
Yeah. Okay, and He might have not looked, He might have not have been all that nice to look at that point in time either, so. Here we are. You know, we're thinking about this stuff. Then came he to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. Okay, so, and I'll go ahead and read the rest of that verse. The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed. Now, she believed God. She was a believer. Epistos. But his father was a Greek. Okay. Eunice was Epistos, and her mother Lois was also, because Their names have been given in the notes of the Companion Bible, at least. Maybe somewhere their names are in Scripture, but at least they're in the notes. And they had instructed Timothy in the Holy Scriptures from his infancy that we read about in 2 Timothy 3:15. And you remember that. Okay. So, let me get back to my notes. Lystra, an extended tour in Asia Minor. It's on page 1618 if you have a companion Bible. He says, and they came or arrived at Catanado. Then he, Paul, came to Derbe and Lystra, and that's a full stop because we need to remember what happened there. And that's what it's there for our understanding. It's not like we need to stop, look, and listen because we're going to be told that understanding. They would reach Derbe first, coming from Sicilia. And behold there in the Greek is aduo. A certain disciple was there named Timotheus, from or by this time closely associated with Paul in the ministry. And if you go back to Romans 16:21, you can read that on page 1693 in the Companion Bible. In the notes, it says he was probably one of Paul's converts at his previous visit of Acts 14:7, and known as my own son in the faith. And it says in 6 of Paul's epistles, Timothy is joined with Paul in this opening salutations. That in 6 of these, his name was mentioned there. We're going to talk about that a little bit because I can't pass this up. And I asked the question to myself here, and I done it with a pen. And I wrote in my notes, does one think he or she feels that they may have been chosen before the world began, as I do? I certainly have felt that. I certainly have come to believe that. And to know that because this was a very, very thing to me to get this understanding because I had been prepared for it all my life and didn't know it.
Yeah.
My grandmother taught me, like Timothy's grandmother and mother taught him. But my mother didn't teach me, but my grandmother had the opportunity because my mother and my dad had separated in divorce. And I didn't see my mother for 7 years. So they was 7 years of my early life there that I had to rely on my grandfather, which was a Wesleyan Methodist minister, and my grandmother, which was actually, if you want to know the truth about it, was a better preacher than my grandpa was. Or she had a way of putting it that you could not get up from sitting there and listening to it or reading it with her that you didn't get some kind of truth out of that, even though you wasn't a believer.
That was one of your life's blessings, I do believe.
Okay. Timothy. His name, listen to this, his name which means honor of God or value of God suggests the important part that he was to take in the revelation of God's eternal purpose. So Timothy was chosen before the world began, I think. I have no doubt, after my understanding and my reading and what I have felt, and in my prayer talking to God, that I understand, and I'm not saying I'm on the same level with Timothy, but I'm saying that I had a little portion to do with God's plan and purpose, and I thank God every day for that.
Amen.
Every day. Okay. Timothy was the son of a certain woman which was Jewish and believed. And that word, a believer there, is the word pistos in the Greek. But his father was a Greek, full stop. Well, why would that be put in there, you think? Well, he was a Gentile, a Hellenist, and being uncircumcised from his infancy. But Timothy was taught by his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice since birth that this was a needful thing in their view, but the father didn't see any real need for that. But guess what? Paul got permission from the father to take his son and circumcise him into another faith. Why? That would take a little doing on a lot of people's parts, even in this day and age. But I think when Paul got to giving the reasons, then it probably became clear to his father that, well, yeah, if he's going to get involved in this thing, and he's going to go with you guys where they'll kill you if you ain't doing what they think is right. And he may need to be circumcised too. So here we are, you know, and as you read this, it seems like, well, that's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. Let's go to verse 2. Talking about the father being a Greek, and says, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. So, it says there in my notes, which was well reported of or born and a witness of. And that word is materio in the Greek, to be grown up by the brother, by the hupo, that were at Lystra and Iconium. And that's where Paul asked the father if he could take him and go forth with him. So here Paul, in a sense, was taking over the father of Timothy's father of Timothy and taking over him as one that he might would call being adopted, maybe. Because he called him my own son in the faith. Let's read it. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and he took and he circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, knowing that they were Jews there where they were going to, and they were going there to evangelize them. Well, if you're going to go to evangelize them, you better have all your ducks in a row, or they want to throw you out and send you on down the road.
Remember, that was the original argument in Acts 16 from these guys, that you got to be circumcised.
Yeah.
And they wanted to take the Gentiles and circumcise.
Yeah, right.
And Paul said, I don't think.
Yeah.
Lord really means for us to do
it. It's just four things now we got to do. Okay, so it goes on and explains the four things kind of a little bit again in here. So, yeah. Him would Paul have, or Paul purposed or asked permission. And I think that asking permission there, the word is philo, to go forth with him. And took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters or places. And this is the full stop. For they knew all that his father was a Greek.
And they knew he probably then would not be circumcised.
By race and would be a Gentile. And would not be circumcised.
That would get Paul in a ton of trouble.
Right. And he's, and everywhere he goes to, you know, he seems to be the opposition waiting on him. Or somebody that don't agree. And it's not going to change anything much right here. But he wanted to at least have Timothy circumcised there when he got there. So let's go on down to four. And it says, and I'll just read it out of the King James. It says, and as they went through the cities, now they were on land right now because they haven't left land in that situation. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. These were the four things that they were, and so they had the letters.
Yep.
And they had the people with them that generated these letters. So they didn't just say, okay, here's the letters, you take these letters and take them on faith and go. No. They were the ones that generated all this was with Paul and them in their group, in their entourage. How many they were, I have no idea. But I do know this. They were doing what they could to not have the problems that they had before. And when they went through the cities, it says, we're going through. Diapor Eromai, the cities, they delivered the four things. Them, the decrees. This was called decrees. And some people this day and age might call them laws now, but at least
ordinances.
These were ordinances to go by to take care of some of the things that might come up. For to keep, to observe, or to guard. And that's phulasso. They were they were ordained or decided of the disciples and the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem. And
they were ordained of the Holy Spirit, I believe.
Yes. This was while they were there. I guess this goes with the next verse. And we'll do verse 5. We'll probably quit with this because we're getting pretty close to the time. And it said, and so were the churches or the assemblies established in the faith and increased in number daily. Okay, the assemblies established. And I guess established is another medical term that come by Dr. Luke that we haven't got to yet. But and there was another word in here that I wanted to bring to you, and I can't remember exactly what verse it is in. Oh, it's in verse 7. And there's another medical term there. And it seems like the closer you get to Dr. Luke, the more medical terms you get. And so established is a medical term because what the doctor would do, he would do certain things that he knew about that you may not know about, and he would establish this in these situations. And so that's the reason the word established was used there. And you know what the Greek word for that is? Stereo. Not stereo, but stereo. Meaning everything meshed into place. Well, there's another word that we're going to look at next time we meet, Lord willing. And that word is assayed. I've never seen assayed in Scripture before in my life. I couldn't remember going with assayed. But you see, when they get in the boat, when you get to verse 7 and they get in the boat and they decide where to go, Paul has got it in his mind and probably in his map of where he wants to go, because God is doing the leading and Paul's doing the following, and Paul has got to tell the captain of the boat where they want to go. And so the word there, the word assayed was used there, means to try or to take apart. Well, this was something that they all had to understand together. If you're going to ride in a ship, and you're going to ride under a captain's orders, and you know that somebody else is reading the map, then you got to be okay with all this stuff. So the word assayed comes to mind. That means that every little piece and part of this trip is going to be kind of took apart and looked at. And they're going to have to agree that this is what they're going to do before they get in the ship and get started, because once you're in the ship, you're on your way. You ever thought about that with this part of the verses of Scripture here? Because they're going across the Mediterranean Sea.
Mm-hmm. They got to know where you're going, what you're doing.
And Paul's never been there. But yet he knows where he wants to go, because the Holy Spirit is leading Paul, or God has given him instructions And the Holy Spirit's backing that up with the understanding that this is going to happen. And so I didn't want to get beyond this verse without a little bit more of an explanation, because when we pick it up next time, we'll have the we'll kind of have the understanding of what's happening. But in verse 5 here, so where they are, the churches or the assemblies have been established already. So they're getting the word of God fed to them. They know that. But here now,
well, Paul said, let's go and see how they do.
Yeah. Well,
they're being tested.
Okay, they're being checked on. But now, when Paul gets in the boat, and he gets in there with his entourage of the ship, and he says, Captain, this is what my God has told me to do. Would you look at him like you're crazy?
A lot of people look at Paul like he was
crazy. You know, but I'm making a point here. This is not scripture. But the notes make it pretty plain what's going on here. And the verses of scripture does also to establish that. Everybody needs to be in stereo, in the same voice. Okay? In the faith. And it said, and the assemblies or the churches increased in number daily. And that Greek word is the word kath, meaning day by day.
It's funny when they're doing things the way the Holy Spirit wants it done, that seems to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way, that was the way it's supposed to work. You know, we talk about, in this day and age, we talk about a revival. But this is more than a revival. This is carrying the Word of God to the rest of a world that needs it. Okay? So
this was the grafting in and process.
This was the process.
Blow by blow.
By which we go, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm happy to be sitting back here where I'm sitting tonight.
Yeah, we're glad to have you back.
And I'm not done with it yet. But I'm hoping to live through it. But if I don't, it'll be all right. Because I know what my hope is, and I know whom I believe in. And he has the power.
Amen.
To do his will. And if it's his will, we'll see. Maybe, I'm not sure about next week. Or maybe the week after. I don't know how it's going to go, but I put my hands in the Lord,
we'll
my life it. In the Lord, and we're gonna do that as long as the Lord allows to do it.
Amen. So we'll figure it out and keep everybody posted as to what the situation.
So God bless them, and continue to keep praying for me, and we'll do what God's will is in this place, and we'll continue on by His great mercy and love. Thank you for being here tonight with me. God bless you.